Good morning and welcome to our site. This morning we're going to break away from our series in the Epistle of the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus because we have a baptismal service in our church this morning. And so our subject this morning is all about Christian baptism. I shall never forget the night when I was baptized in 1960 as an 18-year-old student at Rhodes University in Grahamstown, South Africa. What a night that was when I had the privilege of bearing witness to the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I had come to know personally through faith in him. And so, if you have a Bible with you, please turn to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, we read about John the Baptist's ministry and the baptism of Jesus himself. So it's a very important passage of scripture. So I hope you have a Bible with you and can turn to the Gospel of Matthew in the New Testament, the first of the Gospels in the New Testament, and chapter 3. And there we read, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.' This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.' John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. When they saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, John the Baptizer said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, "We have Abram as our father." I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. 'I baptize you with water,' said John, 'for repentance,' or on the grounds of your repentance. But after me there will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, or in the Holy Spirit, and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn, and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire.'" What a fiery message from a fiery prophet, the herald, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. Then we read in verse 13, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' Jesus replied," and listen to this carefully, "Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.'" Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove from heaven and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." I like to feel that every time somebody is baptized in obedience to the Lord Jesus, the Father from heaven is saying, "This is my Son, this is my daughter, in whom I'm well pleased." Let God bless his word to us this morning. I've entitled my message this morning about baptism, "A Matter of Death and Life." A matter of death and life. The kingdom of God has often been described as an upside-down kingdom. You have to die to live. You have to kind of go down to go up. Humble yourself before God, and in due time, he will exalt you. Jesus said, unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone, but if it dies, it will bear much fruit. And so prove to me, be my disciples, by the fruit that you bear. This is the call upon every Christian. But where does it all begin? It begins when we die to self and rise to new life in Christ. And that's what our baptism signifies. I have five simple questions that I want to answer this morning. Why do we baptize? Who do we baptize? How do we baptize? What does our baptism signify? And what should follow baptism? So let's look at the first question together. Why do we baptize? And the answer is simple. We baptize because of the example and clear command of the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles. Jesus himself, though he was without sin, he was willing to do what the Father required of him, and that was to be baptized. In his baptism, Jesus identified himself with lost mankind whom he'd come to redeem, and in his baptism, he began his public ministry. And so the example of Jesus is very clear, and it is an example that every believer in Jesus should follow. When Jesus was baptized, we read in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15, Jesus said, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. If that was the only word we had about baptism, that would be sufficient for us to be baptized, following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we not only have his example, we have his clear command in the Great Commission, as we call it, at the end of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20, Jesus said before his ascension, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them, that is, baptizing the new disciples, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And as you do this, lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so we see baptism as a following of Jesus' example and its obedience to the clear command of our Lord. The apostles took that very seriously. When we look at the Acts of the Apostles, the book in the New Testament that gives the history of the infant church, we find that from the outset in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit of God was poured out on the believing community in Jerusalem, and Peter preached the good news about Jesus, who was crucified, but raised and ascended to God's right hand, and the Holy Spirit fell upon his audience, and 3,000 Jewish people were convicted of their sin before God, and cried out, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of your sins, and you too will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, we find Philip the evangelist taking the gospel of Christ to the Samaritans, and many of them believed and unbelieving were baptized. In Acts chapter 9, we read of the dramatic conversion of Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road, and he goes through a period of 3 days of repentance and faith in Damascus, and then Ananias, a believer in Jesus, is sent by the Lord to pray for Saul that he might receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately that happens, Saul is baptized on profession of his faith in the Lord Jesus. In Acts chapter 10, we read of the gospel being taken to the Gentiles in the household of the Roman centurion Cornelius, and all his household are gathered, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And the Apostle Peter says, can anyone forbid water for baptizing these who have received the same sign that we received on the day of Pentecost? And he commanded them to be baptized. In Acts chapter 16, we read of the wonderful conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. And in Acts chapter 16, there we read, if you'd like to turn to it, let me just turn to it in my Bible, the Apostle Paul and Silas have been imprisoned, and the jailer and his entire household believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are baptized. And then the incident I was about to refer to is in Acts chapter 16, is that incident, and how we see again in Acts chapter 18, when the gospel goes to Corinth, and those who believe in the Lord Jesus are baptized. And so why do we baptize? We baptize because of the example and clear command of Jesus and the apostles. Who do we baptize? Well, not babies. We don't find that at all in the New Testament. It is always believers. It's the new disciple. Whatever age, whether they are young people or older people, age is not the issue at all. The issue is their repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so obviously baptism is for those who have personally repented of their sins, placed their trust in Christ, and now as their first step of obedience, they declare their faith in Jesus in baptism. Matthew 28 and verse 19, make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, said the Lord Jesus. As we've seen in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it is the believers, those who come to faith to put their trust in Yeshua as their Messiah and Lord on repenting of their sin, those believers are baptized and receive the Holy Spirit of God. And so we've traced through those incidents in Acts chapter 8 with Philip the evangelist and then the Ethiopian eunuch who is baptized on the grounds of his faith in Jesus. When they come to water, the Ethiopian believer says, here is much water, what hinders me from being baptized? Philip says, oh, you may if you believe with all your heart. And he answers, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so what a sight that must have been, with Philip taking this Ethiopian eunuch, this chancellor of the exchequer of Ethiopia, if you like, down into the water, and there he baptized him and lifted him up out of the water, and he went on his way rejoicing. Who do we baptize? We baptize those of whatever age who have come to a credible experience of repentance toward God, placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It is always believers' baptism. If you read the New Testament carefully, it is baptism on the grounds of our repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we baptize? We baptize by immersion in water, because that's what the original Greek verb baptizo means. It means to immerse, to plunge, to dip, to submerge. And so baptism is by immersion in water. We see this in John the Baptizer's baptisms. He baptizes in the River Jordan. We read of Jesus going down into the water, coming up out of the water. And when he came up out of the water, there was this visible sign given to John of the Holy Spirit of God descending upon Jesus. And the voice from the Father, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. How do we baptize? We baptize by immersion in water. The fourth question leads on from that. What does our baptism signify? Our baptism signifies our union with Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. We are identifying ourselves with Jesus in all the perfection of his life, in all the wonderful sacrifice, substitutionary sacrifice of his death and his triumphant resurrection from the dead. And so baptism is like a bath for those who are dirty and who need cleansing. The Apostle Paul and the apostles speak about our sins being washed away through baptism. Well, it's not the baptismal water that washes away our sins. It's the blood of Christ shed on the cross for us that washes away our sins. But water is a wonderful symbol of that washing away, that cleansing. And so baptism is like a bath for those who need a cleansing, but it's more specifically a grave for those who need to be buried. Baptism signifies the burial of the old life that was lived in self-centeredness and in sin and in offense to God. And so in baptism, we are signifying our identification with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. And we are saying the old life that I lived without Christ is dead and buried and gone. And my sins have been washed away through the blood of Christ. And just as Christ was raised from the dead, I too have been raised up with Christ. This is the symbolism of Christian baptism. The Apostle Paul makes that quite clear in his letter to the Romans. Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Buried with Christ in baptism, raised with him to newness of life. This is what our baptism signifies then, that our old life lived under the domination of self and of sin and the world, the flesh and the devil. We have died to that old life. Jesus said, "If anyone will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me." We die to live. We die to the old life, and we live a brand new life in a loving relationship with Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. So just as Jesus' baptism was his identification with us as sinful people and the means of initiation into his public ministry, so our baptism signifies our identification with Jesus as our Savior, our sin-bearer, our Lord, our Redeemer, and it is the means of our initiation or entry into the local community of believers, the church, the body of Christ. What does our baptism signify? It signifies that we've died to the old life, and we've been cleansed through the blood of Christ, and we've been raised up to a brand new life in the power of the Holy Spirit of God who is given to us. So what should follow baptism then finally? Jesus said, "Baptize disciples in all the nation groups of the world, and then teach them to obey everything I have commanded." What should follow baptism? Our obedience to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are enshrined for us in the Bible, the Word of God, and specifically in the New Testament, where we have the Gospels, the historic, factual, actual, reliable accounts of Jesus' birth and life and death and resurrection and ascension. And then in the Acts of the Apostles, as it's called, more accurately, the Acts of the Heavenly Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit working through believers, the church, the body of Christ on earth. And then in the epistles, the letters of the New Testament, we have the teaching of Christ put plainly for us in the letters written by those whom God chose. And then at the end of the Bible, we have the final book, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And so what follows baptism? We need to follow our baptism with a life of trustful obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we keep on growing in the grace and experiential knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We grow from infancy to maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ when we commune with God in prayer, when we meditate in the Word of God, when we meet with fellow believers in the Church of God, and when we bear our witness to others in obedience to Christ's great commission. In the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 2, verses 41-42, we have a wonderful summation of what follows believers' baptism. We read in Acts 42 that 3,000 Jews were added to the believing community of about 120 disciples on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the believing community, and people responded to the message of Peter, the good news about Christ, the Redeemer. And we read in Acts 2 and verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. This is what follows baptism. We devote ourselves to obeying the teaching of our Lord, sharing in the rich fellowship of fellow believers in the local church, sharing in the communion, the breaking of bread, the Lord's table, the communion service on a regular basis, and giving ourselves to a life of prayerfulness. These are the means, the primary means, of us growing from infancy to maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then sharing the gospel as God gives us opportunity to share our witness. What a wonderful witness baptism is. It's like a visible tableau, a wonderful illustration of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are saved. That is, the debt of their sins are forgiven. Their sins are washed away through the shed blood of Jesus. They've died to the old life and been raised to newness of life in Christ, a life now lived in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so those who are baptized commit themselves to a life of trustful obedience as they grow in a love relationship with Christ and with his people and seek to obey his commission to love God, love people, make disciples. What a blessing to witness the baptism of new believers. And what a privilege to help one another to grow to maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you today for the clear example and teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ regarding baptism. We thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege of immersing in water, in obedience to your command, those who have repented and placed their trust in Jesus, who can demonstrate that the old is gone and the new has come, death to the old and resurrection to a new life in Christ. Thank you, dear Lord, for the wonderful way in which baptism signifies the reality of Christian conversion. How that through faith in Jesus Christ, not only is our debt of sin forgiven, but our broken relationship with God is restored, and we are positioned in Christ to receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit and his empowerment, his enlightenment, his inspiration and enabling for our life as Christians. And so we pray for those who will be baptized today, that the blessing of God may rest upon them, and that they may become fruitful witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will be disciples who learn to disciple others, who will learn to disciple others. And so we pray for your blessing upon those who've heard the word today, and we pray that those who've responded to Christ and have not yet been baptized, that this may be the very day that they come to the decision that they will obey the command, follow the example of Jesus, and be publicly, visibly baptized as a profession of their faith in Jesus Christ and the privilege of bearing witness to the Christ who loves them and who is their Savior. And so, Lord, we thank you today for all that you're doing in our lives, and we pray continue your good work. And we pray, Father, that you would be glorified through the life of those who follow Christ today through the waters of baptism. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Heavenly Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
This is my song.